Praise be to the Lord, and welcome. Today is Sunday morning, and this time it's not the traditional way I usually preach, verse by verse or chapter by chapter. The Lord God put in my heart to prepare kind of a, not a full-size message, but probably a devotion, and that's how it sounds. Sounds very simple. Forgive one another. Let us bow for a short prayer, and then the message will follow. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to preach or teach on this very important subject in the life of any Christian congregation, in the life of any family, in any human relationship. We need your Christ-like, Christ-based forgiveness. And Lord, all of us at some point in our lives, we stumbled over, we fell, we committed the sin of unforgiveness because we struggled to forgive other people when they wronged against us. And by doing so, we let even the roots of bitterness grow in our hearts, things like that. But Lord, we're trusting in you, in your power and your sovereignty to cleanse in us from within by your Holy Spirit based on your gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we're praying for this message to bear much spiritual fruit in our hearts. Because we come to this place, whenever Christians get together, whether it's in people's homes or in the church buildings, we come to grow. To grow personally in the knowledge of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. We come to imitate your example, to follow your steps, Lord Jesus, because you forgave us all our spiritual debts, all our sins. Lord, please bless this message in a special way and speak to our hearts through your word and transform our hearts to become more and more like you, Lord Jesus. In the sweetest name of all, in the precious name of our Savior, we prayed and asked for this, and all God's children said, amen. So, forgive one another. I hope you brought your Bible, so if you have downloaded version of Scripture, that's fine. So the first text, while I'm just dealing with introduction to this message, you can turn to Colossians, to the letter of Paul to Colossians, chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Before we read that text, that passage, let me just give you a definition, a secular Webster's Dictionary definition of forgiveness. All of you, probably at some point, all of us have been familiar with dictionary. It can be thick or really thick, Webster's Dictionary. And that's what I discovered, kind of an interesting definition of forgiveness. According to this globally famous dictionary, forgiveness, the act of forgiving, the state of being forgiven, such as the forgiveness of sin or injuries. It sounds almost like a Christian definition. The forgiveness of sin or injuries. It involves a disposition to pardon and a willingness to forgive. Kind of interesting definition. Forgiveness is perhaps the most difficult thing to practice in our lives. If we allow the root of bitterness to spring up in our hearts against someone, even our prayers may be hindered or will not be answered by God. It's a very, very serious thing, whether we practice forgiveness or unforgiveness in our Christian life. And before we move to this verse in Colossians chapter 3, let me ask you this. I can testify, just speaking for myself, to be honest, I struggled personally to forgive mostly Christians as compared to non-Christians in my life. Since 1999, when the Lord saved me by His grace only, I struggled in my relationship with some Christians to forgive them and forget what wrong they had done to me, as compared to non-Christians. Because with non-Christians, we expect that, you know, people can do, can say all kinds of things. We do not expect something holy or inspiring, biblically, to hear from them. So, this is the text, Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. I'm reading from Legacy Standard Bible Translation. So, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on it a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and graciously forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord graciously forgave you, so also should you. Believers have been fully forgiven by Christ, biblically. This is the message of the Bible. And the forgiven are obligated to become forgivers. This is the message of the gospel. The forgivers are obligated, expected, commanded by Christ to become forgivers. The standard for this forgiveness is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ himself. He is our standard, what really forgiveness stands for. A Christian, or the Christian, must forgive a troublemaker. If he or she does not, then feelings of malice, bitterness, will develop in the heart, and these can lead to greater sins. If we let those roots of bitterness and anger dwell and live there and stay there for a long time, it'll be really hard to pull them out. It is Christ-like to forgive, my dear ones. It is Christ-like to forgive. When we forgive Christians and non-Christians around us in our lives, we imitate Christ. We follow his steps. We follow the good news of Jesus when we forgive. Forgiveness opens the heart to the fullness of the love and grace of God. If you forgive, you love that person. If you forgive, you love that person. If you do not forgive, your love, you can say whatever you want to say, but it's a big question mark. It's really questionable. How can you love if you cannot forgive? If you cannot or do not forgive, what kind of love is that? For a Christian, to be willfully unforgiven is unthinkable according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. For a Christian to be willfully unforgiven is unthinkable. It's non-biblical. It's anti-biblical. It's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you have been forgiven by God himself, you're called by Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, to forgive your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Because we're one spiritual family. We're spiritually related. And by the way, my dear ones, when the eternity comes, when we stand in the presence of our Lord and Savior, when you look around in the presence of Jesus, you will see all kinds of saints across centuries and cultures. You probably, first of all, will be surprised how on earth we could get there and how we would be able to see all those people we did not or never expected to be there. That'll be an amazing experience. For a Christian to be willfully unforgiving is unthinkable according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must forgive other believers and non-believers and pull any root of bitterness that might be growing in our hearts. Just one example from their family. It's not a pleasant example. It's not easy to share it, but that was a real life of mine. I grew up in a broken home. My parents several times were on the edge of divorce due to my dad's alcohol abuse, and he was not a faithful husband to my mom. He left her and us few times, at least between 5 and 7 times, to go and live with other women in his life. And then over time, he returned, and my non-Christian mom, for some reason, had some power and strength in her soul to forgive him. Like he returned, and he and she forgave him. Then he went to live with another woman again, then returned, then asked for forgiveness. And my mom again forgave him. I struggled with that. I asked my mom, I think a couple of years ago, finally I asked her, Mom, how on earth could you do that? Why did you do that? And she told me what just really just almost blew me away off that armchair. She told me, because I loved him and I wanted you to have your own dad as a father. So she was not a Christian. As far as I know, my mom is still not a Christian, but she could do it. She was able to forgive her own unfaithful, abusive husband. We must forgive other believers and non-believers and pull out roots of bitterness that might be growing and growing in our hearts. Here's another important text, my dear ones, on the subject of forgiveness. Will you please turn to the letter of Paul to Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. Ephesians 4, 31, 32. Let all bitterness and anger and wrath and shouting and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Instead, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, graciously forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has graciously forgiven you. Wow, this is quite an expectation. The same scale, the same comparison. Just as God in Christ also has graciously forgiven all your sins, we are called to forgive others, particularly our fellow ones in the faith, other believers in Christ. And since God commands us in His Word to forgive others, refusing to do so is an act of direct disobedience to the Lord. The Holy Scripture, the Bible, is clear that God despises an unforgiven spirit because of His own forgiven nature. As children of God, we must reflect our Master's character. An unforgiven Christian is a contradiction in terms. In fact, in the Sermon on the Mount, in the best sermon ever preached, remember the words of Jesus Christ, I think it's chapter 5, verse 44, somewhere there, where Christ calls us to forgive and pray for our enemies. If we're called to forgive and pray for our enemies, how can't we forgive other Christians? How can't we? An unforgiven Christian is a contradiction in terms, according to the Bible. Biblical Christian forgiveness requires us to set aside our selfishness, our pride, our arrogance, and not demand what we think is our due. Jesus' sermons, His parables, and even His prayers were all filled with lessons about forgiveness. For instance, what is one of the major points of the Lord's or disciples' prayer in Matthew chapter 6? What is the major point? Matthew 6:12 says, Matthew 6:12, forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. If you read a cross-reference, many Bibles have those cross-references, in Luke chapter 11, verse 4, you will discover that the debts refer to the spiritual, to our spiritual debts. And debtors are those who have transgressed against us. Luke 11, 4 says, the Scripture interprets or explains the Scripture. Luke 11, 4, and forgive our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. We're called to forgive. We're commanded to forgive. We are obligated to forgive others. Right away, after the prayers, Amen, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus turned to the disciples and said something so significant in Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. Here it is. Hopefully we'll have a slide. Matthew 6, 14, 15 says, for if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. If I refuse to forgive, your heavenly Father will discipline you severely for your sin of unforgiveness. Jesus clearly teaches that the forgiveness we extend to others must be as boundless as the mercy we desire for ourselves. That's the point. We desire much mercy and much love and affection and acceptance and things like that. If we desire this, we need to exercise as much mercy, compassion, and love and forgiveness to other people around us. Now, another important text, if you can turn with me to Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18. Matthew, chapter 18, verses 23 to 27. Matthew 18, verses 23 to 27. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his lord commanded him to be sold, along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. Therefore, the slave fell to the ground and was prostrating himself before him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything." And feeling compassion, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and he seized him and began to choke him, saying, "Pay back what you owe." In this parable of Christ, there was an incredible amount of personal debt. In today's term, that debt would be millions, possibly billions of dollars. Verse 26. Therefore the slave fell to the ground and was prostrating himself before him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything." The servant certainly deserved no mercy. It is the picture of what God does on behalf of every sinner who repents of his sin. The debtor's jail pictures hell, when condemned sinners will spend eternity paying for the unpayable. And the king in this parable pictures a loving and compassionate heavenly Father, a God of mercy and grace who is always willing to forgive. Verse 28. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and he seized him and began to choke him, saying, "Pay back what you owe." The forgiven slave's conduct is shocking. His unmerciful actions toward another slave were an insult to the king who had just forgiven him. The forgiven slave had already forgotten the great mercy he has just received from the king. What is the lesson of this parable? The lesson of this parable is as follows. Christians who refuse to forgive others will be subject to the severest kind of discipline until they learn to forgive as they have been forgiven by the Lord. In this very chapter 18 in Matthew, we read in verses 32, 33, and 34 the following. "Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you?" And his lord, moved with anger, handing him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father would also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your hearts. Now, if we apply the message of this parable in Matthew 18 to a church setting, this is how it may look like. Even one unforgiven person, say in our midst, in the local church, can cause offense to the entire church fellowship. And it is such a poor testimony to the community where the church is located. If people in the community witness that we practice unforgiveness and anger and malice and bitterness, how would they ever come to Jesus in this community? It was one of the strongest evangelistic strategies of the early church, of the early Christians. Often, people who live there, those idolaters, those pagan worshipers, they could see, look, how much they love each other, those Christians. Wow! They're willing, they're ready to lay down their own lives for the sake of their Christian brothers and sisters. Wow! That should be the case. Christians must be the most forgiven people on the surface of planet Earth because they have been forgiven by God. James 2:13 says, a verse in the letter of James, James 2:13, "For judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy." Mercy triumphs over judgment. This principle in James 2:13 echoes the words of Christ in Matthew 5:7. Matthew 5:7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Divine mercy is promised to those who show mercy. Matthew 18:35, the end of that parable. "My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from the hearts." For some reason, in my translation, it's not from the heart, but from the hearts, like in plural. What does it mean to forgive from the heart? Now, let me ask you, my spiritual family, my brothers and sisters, what does it mean? How do you understand it, to forgive from the heart, from the heart? What does it mean to you personally, from the heart? We know where the heart is, right? From the heart. Not intellectually, not saying the words, "I forgive you." And the life goes, "I forgive you." No, no problem. But from the heart, what does it mean, from the heart? You mean it. You live it out. Yes, you practice what you say. You live it out. Very, very good answer. Oh, didn't you hear? Okay. Genuine forgiveness involves an intentional refusal to hold guilt over the head of the offender. It means to end bitterness, lay aside anger, and refuse to dwell in the offense that has been forgiven. It's gone. It's in the past. In a way, it is as near as possible to what God promises in Jeremiah 31:34b. Jeremiah 31:34b, the second half of that verse says, "For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." My dear ones, including myself, a preacher should always include himself. Listen to what God says through Prophet Jeremiah one more time. "For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin, I will remember no more." This is our pattern. This is our biblical example. I will remember it no more. I will refuse to keep it against my Christian brother or sister. Done. Gone. What may seem humanly impossible, it is possible with God in His power and the power of His Holy Spirit. It is possible for the redeemed under the influence of God's Holy Spirit power to forgive even the most serious offenses. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Just as God in Christ also has graciously forgiven you." Conclusion application. Number one, By the way, it's such a broad topic, forgiveness in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. So I was struggling to kind of find some verses. Maybe someday we'll continue. Point number one, we must forgive others and pull out any root of bitterness that might be growing. We must forgive others. It is not optional biblically. And pull out any root of bitterness that might be growing in our hearts. Two, forgive, and that's an easy part, forgive and forget what your offender has done to you. I heard it so many times, and I think I said it myself so many times. I can forgive, but I cannot forget. Then what kind of forgiveness is that? I forgave that Christian, but I just cannot forget him or her. But remember what Jesus said in Jeremiah 31, 34. Not Jesus, God, through Jeremiah, prophet Jeremiah. And their sin, I will remember no more. Point number two. Forgive and forget what your offender has done to you. Learn from Christ as your best example of forgiveness. Suppose God said to you, I will forgive you, but I will never forget it. All through eternity, I will keep reminding you of it. Suppose we're in heaven in the presence of Christ, and for the whole eternity, remember what you did, what you said about me? Remember what you did? The whole eternity. That would be a torture, not heaven. I will remember their sin no more. Isaiah 43, 25, Jeremiah 31, 34, Hebrews 8, 12. The same message can be found in those three biblical references. I will remember their sin no more. Three, an ability to forgive from the heart. The practice of forgiveness testifies in favor of spiritual maturity and spiritual growth. If we don't want to stay and remain in the permanent condition of spiritual babies, we need to learn from Christ by His Spirit the art of forgiveness, to grow in Christ. And by the way, there's a biblical mandate in the entire New Testament. God expects our sanctification, our spiritual growth. We grow based on His gospel in the power of God's Holy Spirit. Before the closing prayer, a couple of quotes from some famous Christians. Corrie ten Boom wrote in her Amazing Love in 1953, even our kids club last season, I heard her name a few times in the lessons. That's what she said. Why should we hold on to the sins of others while our own sins have been cast into the depths of the sea? Well said. If our sins have been cast away, why should we hold on to the sins of others? Look what you have done to me. Look. How can I forgive and forget you? How? In Christ. For Christ's sakes. In Christ's name. In Jesus' name. It can be done. It can be forgiven. Another quote from one famous pastor who recently went to glory in Southern California, who pastored the same church for 56 years. Quote from John MacArthur from his book, The Freedom and Power of Forgiveness. It was written in 1998. If you can check this out and read this book, it's one of the best books on the subject of forgiveness. The Freedom and Power of Forgiveness. His quote, forgiveness. Nothing is more foreign to sinful human nature, and nothing is more characteristic of divine grace. And if we're saved by grace, we're called to be men and women of grace. God expects us to show, to demonstrate His grace to the world. But first of all, it starts within our spiritual family. Show your grace. Show the power of transforming grace to your brother and sister. Do not hold your brother and sister captive behind the bars of your anger and bitterness. Do not hold your brother and your sister as prisoner in your heart forever and ever. We're going to spend eternity all together in heaven. And by the way, it really bothered my mind many times, I'm confessing. All my life, I've been Baptist, Evangelical Christian Baptist. This is the first church where I was told, somebody reminded me to say, you're not Baptist anymore. Why? Because you're the pastor of Thornhill Community Church, whatever it means. Okay. In heaven, there will be Baptist, Pentecostals, Charismatic, some Lutherans, some Presbyterians. Amen? There will be some. It's not one denomination heaven. You look around, what are you doing here from, say, E3 Church? What are you doing here from TPA? And they will say, what are you doing here, guy from TCC? Are you kidding me? How do you get here? It's heaven, my dear brothers and sisters. It's heaven. But we have a big homework to do while we're still in this flesh. We need to learn how to love and forgive in Christ-like manner. In our marriages, if you're married, in parenting, if you're blessed with kids, in husband and wife relationship, in our spiritual family relationship. Because if we cannot learn well, if we're not growing there in this process, God is not pleased with us. God will discipline such kind of a church or family or relationship. Because God is holy, and He expects us to become more and more and more holy. Let us pray and give Him the glory before the final song and the prayer. Our triune God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, thank you for so many examples of what true forgiveness means on the pages of the Scripture. But most of all, our Lord and Savior, the Redeemer, our Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, thank you for your supreme, ultimate pattern of forgiveness. You went to that cross to nail all our sins to that piece of wood, all our transgressions, all our thoughts, dreams, wicked plans, wicked words and actions to that cross. You stand before God the Father. You're on the right hand of God the Father, defending our case, protecting us against any false accusations of the devil. And the Holy Spirit is our another attorney, the best lawyer, the Son and the Spirit. They're defending our case. They're protecting us. And whenever the Holy Father looks down upon us, he sees us through Jesus Christ and the cross of Christ. But Lord, if we struggle to forgive, if we still live in that sin, please forgive us and cleanse in us and give us another chance to live a really holy life, to be your light, to be your salt in the community you have placed us to live. If non-Christians, if my mom was able to forgive my dad, being non-Christian, why can't we forgive other Christians? Why? What do we hold against them? We will spend eternity with them, with our brothers and sisters. How can we take the sinful baggage, that sinful suitcase to heaven, where everything will be so beautiful and clean and pure? Lord, bless us as a church and individually to be the true reflectors of your light, the light of your gospel. Lord, please give us all the power we need to forgive. Forgive and forget. That's what we prayed for. In Jesus' name, in the name of our Savior, amen.